You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside, where Gal Gadot gives the best press conferences and Bill Belichick is our favorite cover model. Wait, what? If you enjoy your trip here into the midside today, please tell a friend. Referrals are our number one source of tourism. Or alternately, you can support us by giving us a five-star review on iTunes or going to patreon.com and you can donate per episode. So it's not a monthly fee. It's just whenever we put out content, you will be donating some money to thank us and support us for continuing to do that. I'm your host, Justin M. Wisniewski, and we have a slight correction from last week. So Midsider Katrina reached out to me, and she said that The Only Living Boy in New York is actually a song by Simon and Garfunkel. So we talked a lot about the title and its significance and everything in last week's trailer takedown. Nope, in fact, they just took a song title, just like Baby Driver did. Though, I think fortunately in this week's trailer takedown, we should be okay, because I'm pretty sure Bruce Springsteen has never done a song called Bad Mom's Christmas, although maybe Soulja Boy has. Joining me this week, from our nation's capital, Daniel T. Richards. Daniel, how is Xerxes?
Yes, Midsiders, I have a puppy. His name is Xerxes the First, God Emperor and King of Kings. That is his full given name. Zerk for short, for white people. I've actually found it very, very amusing that every white person I meet and they ask me what's his name and I say Xerxes, they go, Sir, what? It's amazing.
I guess you know they've never seen 300 then.
Yeah, that is absolutely right. Now, the lady we bought him from, this was an awesome little exchange. She was uber white, but it was in Roanoke, Virginia. So you want to know how she knew the name Xerxes?
Yes, tell us.
From the Bible. She said, oh, that's a great biblical king name. I was like, yeah, that's where I got it from. Yeah, he's in the Bible. It depends on the translation. Only sort of modern translations name him Xerxes, and others he has different names. But
he's only in the book of Leonidas.
I'd read that book.
I want to make one thing clear, sorry to filibuster, just for anyone who's been asking. We did not rescue this dog. We bought this dog from a breeder who has been breeding Yorkies for 30 years, and I am totally down with that. This dog didn't need to be rescued.
Fucking master race dog person.
That's right. I'm not into rescuing, and like I hate those bumper stickers. Who rescued who? No, I fucking bought the dog. It's mine. I own it. Fies and I are not its parents. We are its owners. I do not refer to Faiza as go get your mommy. Oh. I refer to her as Faiza.
Okay. You are opening this door, and I'm going to walk right through it right now. Can fucking women stop saying, especially on dating apps, that they are a dog mommy or that they have fur babies? I am sorry. That is an insult to children. That is an insult to children.
Sounds like a dusty vagina. Oh, it's gross.
They're too busy hiking to take your considerations into account, Justin.
I wish they were hiking. I wish they were hiking. And we'll get to that in a second. We will get to that in the monologue.
Yeah, all they do
I
is
wish they
just
were hiking.
Hike. God, those OKCupid women sure do hike a lot.
Also joining us, as you can hear, from the hills of white privilege, James Elias.
So, Daniel, why Xerxes?
Well, we found it to be, one, ironic, because he's the tiniest little dorky ever. Two, I really wanted to name one of our children something from ancient Persia, but Faiza was not having, like, Darius or Cyrus or Artaxerxes, and so we compromised and named our pet Xerxes.
Sounds like a good compromise.
I don't win anything when it comes to children. I just want to point that out.
You mean like every father in court cases?
Oh, Zing. No, I mean things like, I want 11 children and Faisal wants one, so we compromised at one. Things like that.
I think you'll be okay with that one. But can we shut up here? I want to rant a little bit.
Oh.
All right. So.
Sorry, you start ranting.
I know, that's what I'm going to do. That was my transition when I said, all right, so. Thank you for making me hang a fucking lantern on that. A few weeks ago on Facebook, I made a post, and after that post, like, the responses and participation in my statuses went down to the point that I basically don't post on Facebook anymore. Because fuck all of you and fuck social media. I'm just over it, I'm done with it. And the reason I'm done with it is what the content of the post is. People who have read my posts, and I guess, you know, maybe we can have a little participation in this this week's monologue. Daniel and James, don't I post some pretty offensive shit?
Multiple times a day.
Right. But this post was about weight in the gym. And apparently this is the most offensive post I've ever made. So I'm going to read this post. Why, if you were a fat woman who went to the gym, would you wear black yoga pants and an orange shirt? And in case you think I'm making this up, in black on the shirt were the eyes and mouth of a jack-o'-lantern. So I got some responses. Okay. Thank you. All right. See, that the laughter is the proper response to that post. Thank you. That proves my point that that is fucking funny. The follow-up with it, it makes it funny. That's the punchline, the fact that it actually was a jack-o'-lantern. That it wasn't that I was making that shit up in my head. But I, of course, receive responses that were trying to shame me. People saying, oh, well, the gym is an intimidating place, and maybe she was just doing that to take the power back and make her feel better. Or somebody else saying, maybe it's laundry day, and she just doesn't give a shit what you think. She doesn't give a fuck what you think. Look, here's the thing. I am short. I am small. And when somebody pointed out to me that I was wearing medium and large shirts, they were saying, why do you wear clothes that are too big? Because, you know, it makes me look smaller. I was like, shit. And you know what I started doing? I bought smaller clothing. You know what? Because it made me look better. I'm not going to go play a basketball game and draw attention to the fact that I'm short. Make people realize that I'm short. I'm just not going to do it. You know why? Because I have a healthy self-esteem. Now, obviously, I said the participation in my profile has gone down. And even the other day, somebody in real life was like, why don't you just apologize for it? All you have to do is say you're sorry, and then nobody can say anything to you about it. And I was like, say I'm sorry? And I thought about it, and, you know, I wasn't going to address any of this. But then before I saw Baby Driver, they did the Pitch Perfect 3 trailer. And one of the stars of Pitch Perfect is Rebel Wilson. We all know who Rebel Wilson is, correct?
I know who Rebel Wilson is.
Right, she's the fat, unfunny...
How dare you!
Australian woman who the only reason we're supposed to pretend she's funny is because she's fat. I mean, they even make a joke where there's a band they're competing against. They all have names like Serenity and Harmony. And she's like, oh, if I joined your group, I could be called Obesity. And everyone laughs. Like, because it's like awkward because she's fat. But this is the problem I have. She had a hat on. And it's one of these hats that makes fun of Donald Trump's Make America Great Again hat. Right? You know, we've seen the Make Bitcoin Great Again hats. We've seen Make Emo Great Again hats. All of those are fine. But this said, Make America Eat Again. So a fat woman was wearing a hat that says Make America Eat Again. This is the problem I have. This is what it's supposed to mean. It's supposed to mean we're not supposed to shame people for being fat. We're not supposed to see being fat as a bad thing. Because, you know, people might be born that way. They might have conditions. And look, I acknowledge people might have thyroid conditions. They might have medical issues. But there is a big difference between this whole fat acceptance movement, body acceptance movement, and genetic issues and medical issues. There's a big difference. And the problem is, this is the dichotomy we have now. Very quickly, we're given a dichotomy of make America eat again or make America great again. And I don't fucking like Donald Trump. But if you're making me choose between those two fucking things, I'm going to choose the Make America Great Again every time. Now, I didn't choose. Thankfully, this is America, and I don't have to choose, and I didn't vote because fuck you and fuck both your fucking retarded sides. But this idea that someone like me, because I go to the gym, and I work hard, and I take care of myself, And, you know, I acknowledged I was too skinny, so I decided I'm going to work out better and I'm going to eat better. I'm going to put on muscle so I look better and I feel better. And you know what? My life has improved since. I can't make a joke about somebody who's doing something that doesn't make sense, who's reflecting no self-esteem, because for some reason the worst thing we can talk about in our society is weight. What fucking point are we at? That's what where we draw the line is fat people. We have to protect fat people, people who are hurting themselves. That's who we're protecting.
I have two things to addend to your rant. One is...
Please.
They're both jokes. Don't get excited. one is you were fat shame shamed, which is hilarious.
I know. Believe me, I know that. That's why they were like, apologize, apologize. It's like, no, I'm not fucking apologizing. They win if you apologize. Then you acknowledge there's something to be shameful and guilty
fat
about.
People win if you apologize.
That,
yeah, who's
that's
this,
right.
Who's this guy? Am I allowed to say his name?
You can say people's names.
What?
Yeah, go ahead.
Jeff Cohen.
I went to,
and he's
I went
got
to college
five people.
With him.
Who liked this fucking post?
Sorry,
Liam McKendrick, who made the film, and I have been very nice and very cordial and professional. She made the film about a serial rapist on a college campus and how a woman became a vigilante to kill the serial rapist on a college campus. And she's
so she
skinny,
had to kill
by the
25%
way.
Of men on that college campus.
Right.
And then two, my second point is I have an alternative explanation for why she was wearing an orange shirt with a jack-o'-lantern on it. Because everyone sort of went to this like, oh, she had nothing to wear or whatever, and thus we can't laugh. I think she thought it was funny. You ever met fat people with a sense of humor?
Yeah, that's
I
what
have.
Somebody
it's called
said to
my
me
entire
when,
family.
Right, when somebody was saying you should apologize, somebody else said to me, what if it was a joke? And I said, if that woman had told me it was a joke, I would have shook her hand and said, that's funny. I appreciate your self-deprecating humor. Because by making that joke, you're acknowledging that it's bad being fat.
Right.
Yes.
You're like, haha, isn't it funny I look like a jack-o'-lantern?
It's
but
totally
dude,
something
come
my
on.
Grandmother would have done. Like,
okay.
Because she would have thought it was really fucking funny.
Right. But she wouldn't have been at the gym. And, you know, more power to this girl for being at the gym. But she's also wearing black yoga pants. Come on. Like, don't. If it doesn't look good, don't wear them.
Well, now she has a sense of humor and she's sadistic, so that's.
I guess you could say she wanted someone to smash that pumpkin.
It's what we call marriage material. That's right, folks.
Yep.
Should we start the show? Have we started the show?
Yeah, no, that was a good start to the show. Let's go on to other things we can get angry about. It's time for the news with Daniel T. Richards.
Bernie Three Houses Sanders and his wife Jane have officially hired lawyers amid their FBI probe. Did you know? Did anyone know before I just said that Bernie and his wife, specifically his wife, are under investigation by the FBI? That was something I learned by reading this, which is an interesting commentary on news.
Wait, but I gave you news in the outline?
You did, in fact.
Wow, so, that's a first.
Good job there. Although I don't have my Bernie Bro Google alert set anymore. So,
I did hear it once. I did hear of that once and was only reminded of... And I heard it once because I remember thinking like, yep. And then made a note and like, yep, that makes sense. You know, someone who believes in massive government theft... under the moral cover of altruism might be involved in some kind of monetary fraud. Okay. Yeah. But yeah,
completely
then I didn't hear anything about it after that
with reality. Okay. So for those of you who don't know the story, like I did not know the story, Senator Bernie Sanders, independent from Vermont, and his wife Jane Sanders have hired prominent defense attorneys amid an FBI investigation concerning possible bank fraud. The investigation centers on a loan that Jane Sanders secured to expand Burlington College when she was its president. Jane Sanders allegedly distorted school donor levels in a 2010 loan application for $10 million from People's United Bank to buy 33 acres of land for the school, which shut down in 2016. Bernie Sanders told the Washington Post that the investigation would clear his wife of any wrongdoing. Justin?
So, James stole a lot of the thunder of what I was going to say. But the first thing I want to say is this means like three of the four major candidates are under FBI investigation at some point. Think about that. What does that say? We have all this talk like, you know, we had this in our thread like, oh, Donald Trump tweeting the WWE thing is below the office of the president. Isn't it below the office of the president that three of the four fucking candidates are investigated by the FBI for something?
And Gary Johnson's too stoned to commit crimes, so.
I mean, at least JFK had the FBI under his thumb enough that they just got annoyed and shot him. Like, that is... When was the president that powerful that it was like, if you wanted to do something about him, you just had to shoot him? Okay, really bad joke. Really inappropriate
too
joke,
soon,
even though
soon.
That happened years ago. Way too soon. But the other thing I want to do is I want to really emphasize what James has said. All this is a major thing, right? This idea that people are like, we have to protect against these evil people doing evil things, or we... Not even that. We have to protect against the potential of evil because people will do evil things. You want to know who the people are that say that? People who do evil things. The reason the left is out there saying, oh, well, it's the people at the top who are the worst, it's because they're the worst. Al Gore's complaining about pollution because he's driving a jet. Leo, how much shit does Leo have? Leonardo DiCaprio, and then he's projecting and saying everyone's a problem. These are the people doing the bad things, so they project and they assume everyone else has the same psychology as them.
Yeah. Basic projection. Also, the FBI shot JFK? I didn't know that. Mind blown.
No!
Wow. Wow.
See what I did there? That's why I was laughing at myself, because I'm an idiot.
No.
Okay.
That was a Justin level joke, I'd like to point out.
So, I think you're right. This is sort of basic projection on the part, not just of the left, but of the right as well. Can't let those gays get married because then they'll be fucking donkeys.
Right.
At 10.
Which is the whole idea. So you're saying if you could
Senator
do anything,
so-and-so
you would fuck a donkey?
Discovered fucking a donkey in an, in an airport stall.
Right.
Yes.
It's always the senators who, exactly, the airport stall. It's always the senators who are like the most anti-gay that you find out are like reaching under and like grabbing balls in the airport stalls.
How now, Justin? He just had a wide stance. That's right.
Yeah, so does the center when he snaps the ball to Tom Brady, but Tom Brady's not grabbing his dick.
Although maybe a little brush.
I mean,
brush,
you know what? If he
there.
Is, more power to him.
Yeah. That's right.
No, I mean, I think this is really important because nobody mentions this projection thing. Nobody's ever like, oh, wow, you know, they're complaining about robber barons, but they're the robber barons. And then it's like you're pointing out, where is the news covering this? Like, isn't this a big fucking deal that the guy who's saying the rich embezzles and steals money from the poor, that his wife's being investigated for fucking fraud for how millions of dollars?
Yeah.
Here's a question.
I mean, obviously, it's all alleged at this point, but
are Trump's connections to Russia, but we won't shut the fuck up against that, about that.
We'll get to that. But if it is true, I don't want to psychologize, but as Justin would say, do it! I can't help but think that someone's psychology, where they think that because I'm doing something, quote, for the greater good, it's hard for me to think that that doesn't play into a lot of this stuff, the fraud and the corruption and whatnot, because it's sort of like, but I'm the good guy, I'm the savior, so of course I'm allowed to do this and fuck the system.
Wasn't that Zod in Man of Steel? Wasn't that his entire thing? He was doing it for the greater good of Krypton, and Krypton was stronger than man, so he was doing it for the greater good of the universe. Wasn't
That's
that his
right.
entire thing?
Thus, genocide. That's right. That's basically one step away, Jane Sanders.
I mean, that's how Hitler got there, right? We just
that's right.
at Hitler.
We've now gone from Zod to Hitler.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Now, speaking of Hitler, the Sierra Club.
Sierra Club thinks that the biggest problem with environmentalism is, quote, unsustainable whiteness. Yes. Grist blogger Nikhail... Oh, God. Swaminathan? Swami? Nikhail Swami. Claimed the environmental movement has, quote, mostly run by well-off white people concerned about conserving critters and our country's natural beauty, not the health and welfare, assumingly of the planet. She shared this post with bloggers last week, and of course, people are turning their heads puzzled. But she said that, simply put, NGOs and foundations in the green space are still overwhelmingly white at all levels, especially top leadership, and that's limiting their effectiveness, especially in addressing issues that affect frontline communities. Still, nearly three-quarters of staffers are white, and the numbers indicate less inclusiveness as you move up to white higher rungs in those outfits. Nearly 15% of leaders are people of color. The Sierra Club's first black president told Grist, "White privilege and racism within the broader environmental movement is existent and pervasive. The current is not maintainable. We're becoming a brown nation. It's not about one-off. It's about sustainability." So, Justin, we need not only have sustainability in our energy, but now we need sustainability in our ethnic diversity. What the fuck does that mean?
I bring brownness every day when I take a shit, so you can't just say that I'm not bringing the sustainability of the brownness.
Justin!
But no, this article...
That was me getting sucked into the black hole created by that joke.
Look, I'm on a warpath to say things more offensive than fat shaming today. So this episode, this article is like watching someone who's driving way too fast towards a brick wall, and they realize they're going too fast, and then they just gun it. They're just like, ah, shit, I'm going too fast, and then they just slam the gas even more. There's a couple quotes that I want to read.
I'll go through because the wall.
Exactly. Oh, maybe if I pretend the wall's not real and I just go faster, it will, like, I'll phase through it like I'm the Flash or some shit. No, as I'm reading this article, like, it starts out and I'm like, oh yeah, those are, like, they're finally fucking starting to get it. And then their solution is just like, what? So it says, but critics say such worries only show these groups care more about progressive politics than protecting the planet. It's like, yes, you finally get it. This isn't about the planet. This is about another fucking agenda they have. And I'm like, wow, someone's finally starting to get it. And then they continue getting it. By making even more outlandish claims and predictions about global warming, the movement has discredited itself. Yes, thank you. That's what we've been saying. That is a mid-side point. Is that not a mid-side point, Daniel and James?
Yeah. It is one of many, but yes.
Right. Well, and that is so, right? So it's like, oh, look, maybe we're going to veer away from the wall. Maybe we're going to veer away from the wall right now, right? This is great. We're not going to die in a fiery crash right now. And then that's when they go, and the problem that is creating all of this stuff is that they're white. Explosion. What the fuck? How do you get from, like, all this shit to they're white?
That's right. Not only white, by the way, Greenpeace and the Sierra Club have both been criticized for supporting the, quote, white, hetero, patriarchal, imperial ideology which premises this continued climate colonialism.
Well, and that brings in
what does that
exactly
mean?
Well, it's exactly
as
what
a
Daniel
philosopher
just said.
I demand an answer.
It's the wall thing Daniel said. They're really believing the wall doesn't exist. That's really what it is. The wall only exists because straight white males have told you the wall exists.
I think we should use that sentence as a new mid-side tagline. The white, hetero, patriarchal, imperial ideology which premises this continued climate colonialism. It's got a nice ring to it.
No, why don't we call our – just end it at ideology and read it again, and this is what we'll call our podcast.
The white, hetero, patriarchal, imperial ideology.
That's it. I think that's great. I'm making that. That's going to be a meme this week. I'm going to make that. That's going to go up on the Instagram.
That's right.
Somebody write that down because I'm going to forget it. So one of you midsiders out there, when you hear that, write that down and message it to me because otherwise I'm going to forget it.
I can copy and paste it from the article.
I was trying to encourage listener engagement.
I assume they're going to tweet at us. Why not just copy it from the article, dick? That's what I assume our listeners are going to tweet at us. But
I'm assuming we're going to have no listeners because at the beginning of the episode, I shamed fat people.
I think we lost them at the you comparing blacks to your turds. Other than that.
I was simply comparing the color. The color.
That's all, Daniel.
That's it? Okay.
If you want to read the rest of it into it, it was just a color comparison. I'm saying if you're worried that white people don't produce enough brown.
Okay, we heard you. You don't need to repeat it. La, 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 la.
Also, fuck fat people. James.
Nope.
Nothing about the Sierra Club?
Yeah, this is, I mean, I really just genuinely want to know what they mean by, what did they frickin' say? Colonial, what did, let's find that
climate
again.
Climate colonialism.
What the shit does that mean?
That means,
does that mean
we're
that,
taking
like,
over
I gotta,
the environment?
I gotta find how do you spell colonialism? I'm trying to type it into
C-O-L-O-N-I-A-L-I-S-M, colonialism.
Well, fascinating pod. Let's spell other words. This is the Dick's spelling bee. That's what this is.
That's right. This is all nonsense. The problem with the environmental movement is not that it has unsustainable whiteness, but that it has unsustainable ideas. And the fact is that their ideas lead to the diminishment of human beings, because that is partially their goal. For one horrible ideological sect of the environmentalist movement, they are post-human. They think that we're a scourge. And the other sect just wants to control us. So,
you know who's causing more problems to the environment than other people?
Who?
Fat people.
Okay. I see we've got Justin on a roll.
No, I mean, I'm being over the top, but
a very highly buttered roll.
So, no, James, to explain hetero to you what the colonialism they're talking about is,
there's basically no way you've unpacked this veritable treasure trove.
Look, I'm a fucking genius. Do you want to hear the
words
answer or not? Do you want to hear the answer?
I do want to hear the answer.
Okay, it's the idea that the patriarchy, the heteropatriarchy, has taken over the world and used it for their own purposes. So they're using the environment to achieve what they want, but what they're really doing is they're destroying the environment for the rest of us. That's what the idea of environmental colonialism is. The hetero, masculine patriarchy, whatever the fucking word was. See, I already forgot it.
It's hetero patriarchal imperial ideology,
right,
which premises
the
continued.
We're using
climate
it.
Are they
for
saying
our
that
purposes?
People, they're saying that people like Al Gore are making money off of this ideology, and that makes it a patriarchal imperial colonialism.
Yeah.
Yes, well, that would be a cognate of it.
I've seen before the folks criticizing Gore because he wants like a carbon offset market. And they like that is an atrocity to the hardcore environmentalists, because it basically says you're still allowed to use carbon. To folks like Bill McKibben, who want to eliminate 99% of all fossil fuel use, a climate marketplace, a carbon marketplace, is no better than unfettered laissez-faire capitalism.
When you have an allegiance to something extreme as this, all you have to do is see what they think the extreme evil is, and then anyone who is not aligned with them, who is not pure, is then some degree of that evil. So if you know what they think the extreme evil of colonial environmentalism is, all you have to do is just take a diluted version of that and apply it to Al Gore. That's why it doesn't take a lot to unpack. It's just everyone fucking is using the environment and taking advantage of it and raping the planet, and anyone who isn't aligned with them is evil in doing that. That's all it is. And they're fucking everyone else over because they don't give a fuck. That's what they think.
All right.
Optimism. Miley Cyrus has announced that she's genderless and ageless.
I love this shit.
I'm just a spirit soul, she said. Yeah. Reading from an article that looks like a series of tweets. This is, what is this? Revlist? REVELIST.com? What the fuck is this, Justin?
Anyway, I don't know. It was the only site I could find actually reporting on this.
Okay. It's literally a series of tweets. Okay. Miley Cyrus doesn't believe in labels.
It looks more like a series of Instagrams.
Yeah. Exactly. The singer recently revealed on the ITV show Lorraine, I don't know what any of those things means, that she considers herself both genderless and ageless. I'm weird for many reasons, Cyrus began. I think I feel genderless. I feel ageless. Cyrus said she doesn't want to slap a label on who she is, except for, you know, her name and the fact that she's now genderless and ageless. She just wants to be, quote, nothing, unquote.
That's so good.
This literally reads like the things that people make fun of Ayn Rand for. Like, talking about an artist who wants to be nothing. Like, How do you even go from here? I'm just a spirit soul, she continued, not divided by a human being, even animals. There's no me and them. There's no us and you. I just want to be nothing. This announcement, of course, comes 8 months after Cyrus revealed she was pansexual. So she's evolved from there. My whole life, I didn't understand my own gender and my own sexuality. Okay, fine. But then this. I always hated the word bisexual because that's even putting me in a box. Zing. Oh, that's not a joke. Oh. I don't ever think about someone being a boy or someone being a girl. She's simply happy living her life as a free spirit. The only label she's comfortable with is weird. Turns out we are also comfortable with that label. Justin.
Are you going to say your other joke that you said where you wish she was nothing? Or I'll just take that right now.
Go ahead. Since you right, just said just it. It. Are you going to say this joke that I'm now going to repeat verbatim?
I wanted to give you credit, but also say it to get it out of the way. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, there's a whole lot to unpack here when we're talking about like social issues and identity issues. But there's just something I want to share, a personal anecdote that I think will, like, maybe if Miley Cyrus hears this, maybe she'll, like, develop a healthy thing or not. So, Miley, if you're out there listening to this, just take this into account. So, I am an atheist, but I don't think of myself as an atheist. And I don't, like, think about God. The only time, like, God comes up is when other people have a conversation about it or other people ask me about it. Or the only time the label atheist comes up is when I have to talk to other people about what I am or what I believe. You know, it's the same thing. Like, I don't go around thinking I'm short, but I am short. Now, technically, that means my label is nothing, but the reason we have those labels is to make it easier to associate with other people and understand them. It makes it a hell of a lot easier when I'm talking to somebody and they're like, well, what's your belief? Do you believe in God? And I just go, I'm an atheist. That makes I don't fucking have to go into, like, the argument. What was the article that Nathaniel Brandon wrote about how the impossibleness of nothing? I don't have to fucking go into that argument every time. I don't have to waste my fucking time. Because that's what you're doing when you're doing what Miley Cyrus is doing. Oh, you're ageless and genderless? What does that mean? Maybe there's a narcissism here. I don't know. I don't want to speculate about that. I don't know enough. But that's the point. Is it makes it easier.
About narcissism?
Well, I don't, I mean,
you,
she's probably, I know.
First of all, don't want to speculate.
It's because she's not fat.
Also,
she's skinny, so I'm giving her a pass.
I think you throw around the word narcissism like you do fuck, which is a lot.
Well, I mean, if there's one thing narcissists are good for, it's to fuck.
Because you're a fucking narcissist.
No, I mean, maybe that's what it is. Maybe she does want people to talk to her and have to explain it every time. Maybe that's all this is a cry for attention. I'm ageless and genderless. Oh, what does that mean, Miley, that you're ageless and genderless? Could you please talk to me about that more? Maybe that's why she's doing it. Because for me, it's a way to get people to leave me alone. Like, if somebody comes up, that's happened to me before. People have knocked on my door, Jehovah's Witnesses. Hey, would you like to hear about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? I'm an atheist. Slam. It makes it really easy to get rid of people.
Let me explain to you the impossibility of nothingness.
Right, exactly. So I don't want to get into a philosophical discussion with these fucking people. I mean, that's the purpose of labels. It's not fucking to, like, label yourself. Like, do you walk around all day, Daniel, being like, I'm an atheist? Blah, blah, blah. Like, is that the way it works?
Where I work, it comes up more often than you'd expect. But
yeah, it actually, being an atheist for me takes us a little far. But real quick, it comes up for me in everyday life, in my private head, when sometimes, like, you know, for example, I'm playing a video game and I lose and I'm like, God damn it. And, you know, I get frustrated and then I think, wait a second. I have to remember, I'm an atheist. There's no one in control who's trying to fuck with my life and make me lose the game. I just lost the game. You see what I'm saying? There's no being trying to, you know, control anything there. So sometimes it is helpful to remind yourself of that. But your point is taken that, yeah, you don't need to go around labeling yourself all the time.
Okay, James, go to therapy. That's all I'm going to say.
What? I feel like everyone makes that mistake, but it helps to remember, like, wait a second, like, no, it's just the game.
But see, yeah. I've reconciled that problem. Like, when I say, like, God bless you or, like, God damn it, I don't think, like, oh, God, I don't believe in God. Like, oh, no. Like, that's just an expression. And what that is, like, Dr. Drew has talked about this with 12 Steps, where he says, now we're talking about atheism, but whatever, fuck Miley Cyrus. Fucking
Please
narcissist.
Don't. You will get many diseases.
Yeah, I know. By the way, before I go to the Dr. Drew thing, have you seen her new music video where she like decides not to be crazy anymore and it's all like like light and like she's dressed in white? Her new music video is a live action Tinder profile. That's what I imagine every Tinder profile would look like acted out.
Write that down, Justin. That's the first good stand-up joke you've ever told.
It's not the first good one. I have other ones. Which reminds me, I forgot another one. Anyway, so Dr. Drew talks about it with the 12-step program. He's like, atheists come in and they say, I have a problem doing 12 steps because I don't believe in God and I don't want to accept the step of a higher power. Higher power doesn't mean a sentient being in control. It just means that I don't control the fucking universe. So like when you lose a game and you're like, God damn it, you're just saying, fuck, like I was, that was my shortcomings as a limited being. That's all you're saying.
I feel like this is a discussion that can go on.
The frustration carries with it this indication that this sort of hint that I'm somehow being treated unfairly.
Nah. Oh, see, that's your psychology.
Well, at least for me it does. I'm like, oh, why is the game like that? Like, you know, oh, and there must be lag. And then I'm like,
oh, no, see, when the game
not.
Does that, I just go, this fucking game is rigged. I just go, they fucking programmed this wrong.
Right.
So that's
but then you're, but then that's you. When you do that, you're just being a theist. Just God is the programmer now.
Oh,
you see what I'm saying?
It's the same construct. In Elon Musk's language. Yeah.
Yeah. The programmer is the programmer.
Also, I'm bored with the Miley story, so this just in. Volvo admits its self-driving cars are confused by kangaroos.
What?
We are not in Volker. Swedish company's animal detection system can identify and avoid deer, elk, and caribou, but it's not yet been able to work against marsupials.
What the fuck?
It defies categorization. What is this thing? Is it a rat? Is it a horse? Is it like a fucked up person? I don't know.
Does it also does it also have problems with athletes that can jump higher than 2 feet?
Oh man, sorry. I was bored with Miley and decided that was much more entertaining. So, but that is not fake news, unlike all of CNN, right, Donald? Are you listening, Donnie Trump? But Ben Shapiro argues in, what is this thing that he runs? The Daily Wire, that if everybody's fake news, whom do you believe? So he goes on to report that CNN has, of course, had an awful, no good, very bad week. On Monday, they announced that they were firing 3 journalists after the network ran a story on their website alleging that Trump associate was being investigated by the Senate Intelligence Committee for a Russian contact. But they retracted that story. Then late on Monday evening, undercover journalist James O'Keefe, the Project Veritas guy, dropped a video of CNN producer John candidly talking about CNN's treatment of the Trump administration and their Russia whatever. Bonfield suggested that Trump was covering the allegations. That CNN was covering the allegations, which he termed mostly bullshit right now, because of ratings. So then, after all of that, Trump just now, earlier today, tweeted a video of him from a WrestleMania thing, basically body slamming a guy to the ground, except the guy's face was the CNN logo.
It was Vince McMahon.
Whatever. I don't know about
it. They put the CNN logo over Vince McMahon. It was the Battle of the Billionaires.
There we go. But Ben Shapiro makes an interesting argument here, which is, so obviously we can't trust CNN. Fine. But we also can't trust Trump, who fibs routinely and regularly and maintains his fibs even after being factually debunked. Now we're in a Vizzini situation. Is this from Princess? Oh, it's from Princess Bride.
Vizzini,
I am not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you, but you must have known I was not a great fool. You would have counted on it, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me. And herein lies the problem with the term fake news. Trump is absolutely correct that CNN has peddled fake news in the past, and with malicious intent against him, etc., but it is also true that the vast majority of CNN's reporting, while biased, contains some factual accuracy. But Trump's attempt to label every single mainstream media outlet fake news isn't honest and it isn't useful, but they are all biased against him. Justin, what do you make of this? What can we do about fake news in an era where everything is fake news?
Well, can you read his 3 points at the end of this article?
Oh, his basic truths. He says, here are some basic truths. 1, all journalists are biased, even if they won't admit it. 2, the facts of a story are either factual or they are not. Period. 3, The bias of the journalist may impact how the facts are presented, but they do not automatically discredit the facts presented. Period. End of list.
Right. So this is what I have to say to this story, and this is what I have to say to all of you fucking people out there complaining about fake news and complaining about that you don't know how to trust. Don't know who to trust. And you also don't know how to trust because you were traumatized by your parents, probably. But this is what I have to say to you.
Projection.
Welcome to Justin circa 2003. I remember saying this in undergrad, where people were complaining about shit like this. And I said, look, when you read a news story, when you hear any information from anyone, you just have to think one very basic thing. Why are they presenting it to me in the way that they're presenting it? Then once you understand that, you can see what the facts are and what the facts aren't, because you know what they're trying to get out of you, and you know what they're trying to get you to think. Even if they're not doing it explicitly or intentionally, even if they're doing it subconsciously. So I'm just going to be generous, you know, I'm not talking about this situation, but let's say that fake news isn't intentional in the world, that people are out there and they're trying to do their hardest. They're trying to do their best, right? They're trying to report the news the best they can, but their bias is still getting in there unintentionally, even though they're doing everything they can. You still need to, in a world, in a perfect world, in a world where people actually report properly, you still need to ask, why is it being reported in this way? You still need to. That is a basic responsibility of being a human being, of being alive. When somebody comes to you at work and they say, oh, so-and-so said this, you have to think, okay, why did they say it in that way? Who are they talking about? Why would that person have said it, and why are they saying it in that way? That's just being alive. Just like being alive is, you know, going to the gym and eating properly and not being fat, being intellectually alive is thinking about the information you're receiving and how you want to put it in your fucking head. That's it. I've lived my whole life this way. You want to know what the midside is? This is what the midside is. You know, Ben Shapiro's like, we can't trust the right, we can't trust the left. Everyone we talk to, whether they're cool or not, like, we have to question them. Welcome to life. Welcome to being alive. I don't know. Maybe I'm cynical, but to me it just seems just like fucking welcome to life. Welcome to where I've been. America, the world. Ben Shapiro, yes. Miley Cyrus. Jack-o'-lantern shirt at the gym. Woman.
Yeah. It's you're very right. And I think there's a great example.
Wait, what was that? One more time?
You are right.
No, you said very.
I did? Oh, yeah. Sorry. You're just barely right. And here's an example of that, which is, I like this example because it's something that I fucking despise, which is the Senate healthcare bill. You know, the repeal of Obamacare, which is fucking, dog. So, Jesus. So that's the rights version, by the way. This is our bill to repeal Obamacare. It's like that. No, it's worse than fucking Obamacare. So, but the left version is this narrative that this bill cuts Medicaid spending by 26%. And you think, oh, so like there's a number, like we're spending, you know, X amount of billion and we're cutting it by 26%. That's, well, I actually can get behind that, I think, because it's cutting a government program. But in fact, what is actually happening is that there is an increase in the amount we spend on Medicaid. In fact, this year we're going to shell out next year we're going to shell $393 billion for Medicaid. And by 2026, we'll be spending $464 billion. Does that sound like a cut to anyone? But no, it's a cut of 26% less than we would spend based on current law. Did anyone understand that? Did I explain that properly? Basically, they're saying that the 26% is that we're spending 26% less than we would otherwise. Not
okay,
that we're
so
cutting
use the
it
y
26%.
Principle.
We cut the
use
growth
the
by 26%.
Yeah, this is like the Ryan budget where he didn't make any cuts. He just slowed the rate of increase and everyone's like, you're balancing the budget on the backs of the poor, but we're dying.
So, Daniel, why are they presenting it in the way they're presenting it?
Well, for the left, it's a very simple thing. One is that they want to present this as hurting the poor. Because any change to their law to them is, this is a political move on the left's part totally, which is we need to make it look like the Republicans hate poor people, hate healthcare,
right,
and want in some way destroy your life. Now,
right. So
the bill
right, exactly.
just cuts 26% off what we would spend in the next, you know, however many years, but we can report that now as we're spending 26% less on Medicaid, which is so fucking disingenuous. So there's that.
Right. They're trying. Both sides are saying it to try and make it look like they have the better bill. Bottom line, yeah. That's all it is. So any story you go into about the healthcare bills, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care if you're a socialist. I don't care if you're a fascist. I don't care if you're a libertarian. I don't care who you are and what you believe. Any article you go into about the healthcare bill, that's what you have to assume, that either side is presenting it in a way to get you to agree that their bill is the better one. That's it. That's how life works. Moving on. Now, anyone have any final thoughts on this story?
You can be a socialist, a fascist, as long as you're not a fattist.
I actually kind of disagree with the idea that all, like, a journalist has to necessarily be biased. Because yeah. I think
I'm not saying that they have to be necessarily.
Because I think you can be non-biased and still have an opinion. You just have to make that opinion objective to the audience. You have to basically say, okay, I'm only going to try to convince the audience of things that I can actually, you know, prove to them. And then what you've done is you're still being objective, even though you're expressing an opinion. That's hard to do, but it's possible.
I agree. Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying. All I'm saying is to properly protect yourself and properly exist in the world and take care of yourself and make sure that you're not being manipulated by anyone, even unintentionally. Even a little AP news blurb that says, like, man, 44 drives off bridge. You have to think, why is the headline presented in that way? And you have to think, why are these three little sentences presented in that way? Even though they're being as objective as impossible and giving you the facts, why are the facts written in that order? That's what you have to do, even if things are 100% biased, 100% unbiased.
Right, of course.
That's what I'm saying.
This is a yes and, because for me, one of the biggest things that gave me this skill that you were talking about, Justin, is the ability for me to try to write articles objectively. It's like, so now when I know the sorts of things, like, you know, you can and cannot include in an article if you're trying to convince someone, I realized, oh, I was able to see when people, you know, wantonly violate those principles. And I realized, like, oh, that's why I feel like they're full of shit, is because they're not proving their case to me. They're just, you know, injecting their own order into it for, you know, that suspect and their own opinion into places where it's kind of hidden. So, of course, I feel uneasy about it.
Right. And what you're saying becomes a broader discussion about how communication and writing and speaking as a skill is disrespected in this society. Part of the reason that I understand this and understood it at such a young age is this is something I'm good at. It's what I'm talented at. It's what I've always been good at innately, naturally, since I was young. And then I've developed that skill by reading since I was young and then training myself further. But we don't take that expertise seriously. We think, oh, everyone can write. Everyone can talk. It's easy. So we don't think that people are actually doing these things. So that's what exacerbates the problem and gets us to the point we are at now.
Yeah. And thinking critically about this is so important, not just in this quote-unquote fake news era, but just in general in this era of we only read the headlines.
Yeah.
My favorite example of this recently is BBC tweeting out this headline, quote, three Palestinians killed after deadly stabbing in Jerusalem. What do you think happened based on that headline?
What do I think based upon
that headline? Three Palestinians killed after deadly stabbing in Jerusalem.
So what do I think happened based upon my principles of what I've just taught of critical thinking? Or
no,
what would I interpret if I was retarded?
An average human being just coming across that think happened if they read that
the
headline.
Palestinians were stabbed.
Yes, indeed. When in fact, no, it was three Palestinian young men.
They went around and stabbed people, and then the Jews retaliated and killed them. That's what happened.
They killed in fact, a female Israeli police officer, and then the other police shot them to death.
Right. You stole my thunder, though. I was going to predict that and look like a genius and prove my point.
Yeah, indeed. But that's my point, is like, if you're not thinking critically about why is this information being presented to me in this way, you're going to read that headline, scroll up to the top of your Twitter feed, press send tweet, and type out, oh, just another example of the Israelis oppressing the Palestinians, and look like a complete fucking idiot. So don't do that.
Okay, well, let's unpack this a little bit and use this as a teaching exercise.
But go ahead.
Okay, it's going to be very quickly. What is the key word in that headline that signals that they were the ones who were doing the stabbing?
To me, it's the passive killed after a deadly stabbing in Jerusalem.
Interesting. For me, it's killed the word by who? After.
Oh.
It's the word after.
The passivity of it. But
I would have said killed in stabbing. If they were actually killed by the stabbing itself.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? But because it says after, that implies to me that there's a cause and effect. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I like that. That's very good. It's almost right, even. Just kidding. It's very good. For me, I always look for the passive voice. Because when you're writing in passive voice, you're trying to hide the actor in this.
So
case.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's two things. And if we're talking about actors...
Oh.
I think that's a look at that. It's like I learned from Adam and Drew how to do a transition. When you're talking about actors, about actors.
Fail.
Let's talk about some art. It's time for The Hopeful Romantic with JML. For this week's review, I actually, just before we recorded this week, I got out of seeing Baby Driver. Baby Driver is written and directed by Edgar Wright, starring Ansel Elgort, who almost was Han Solo, I believe. John Hamm's in it. John Berthenol's in it. Jamie Foxx is in it. And this movie, and Daniel, could you look this up right now? It has a very high rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
97%, in fact. I already had it open.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Look at that. It's like you're professional. It's a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, so I wanted to go see it. Now, I'm going to give my review, and then I'm going to say how that would work in Rotten Tomatoes, which will lead into our we're going to have a discussion about Rotten Tomatoes after Trailer Takedown. So here is the good and the bad about this movie. The good about this movie is the directing and the use of music. The main character of this was in an accident when he was in a child. So he has, you know how when your ears ring after you hear something really loud and you always have that zzzz the whole time? He has that, so he's always constantly listening to classic iPods. He has a whole collection of them. And he's this really excellent driver. So he's a getaway driver he's been forced into being a getaway driver for a bank heist crew. And led by Kevin Spacey. And Kevin Spacey calls him and then he goes and does the heist. But the way the music is used, because he has iPods set up for different days and different moods, and the way the music is used to complement the scenes is excellent. Like, if you love the way Snyder uses music in his movies, you'll love the way it's done here. The beats work with the beats of the visuals and everything. And likewise, there are just creative shots in this movie. So directing the movie is great. There's also some really good scenes in it and some really good pathos in it. Like, there were a couple scenes that I legitimately was getting misty-eyed with the way they portrayed this character and his traumatic backstory. But the whole movie is framed with an opening action sequence and a closing action sequence. So the opening action sequence, you're like, okay, I get it. They have to show three heists because the first one sets up what's normal. The second one is, you know, the continuation of what's normal. And then the third is when everything goes to shit. So you're kind of like, okay, I get the first one. But the movie literally degenerates into just an unnecessary action sequence. You could have ended the movie the same way, and I don't want to spoil the ending, but you could have gotten to that same ending by not having a ridiculous action sequence, which breaks the tone. And when I say ridiculous action sequence, this movie was essentially Fast and Furious for the intellectual crowd. That's what this was. Anyone who tells you otherwise is kidding themselves. Now, was it enjoyable? Were the performances great? John Hamm is a treasure. That guy, I could watch him in anything. That guy can fucking act. Like, that guy is tremendous. Even Kevin Spacey's good in this. The main kid is a little hard to deal with because at first I just think he's autistic, but it's because he has trauma and everything, so it's a little weird, but once you get into it, he gets a lot better. It just, it's very enjoyable to watch, but ultimately because of the disintegration, I can only give it like a 7.5 out of 10. All the good things to me are taken away because I got to the end of the movie and I was like, what the fuck? Like, this is stupid. And you can only get there by the main character continuing to be stupid and continuing to make stupid decisions. And I mean really stupid. I hate often when people are saying, oh, well, the main character was stupid or they made a stupid decision, so that makes the movie bad. Usually that's explainable thematically and people are just misunderstanding the theme. This, because of the thematic disintegration, it makes what he does look really bad. And it makes the eventual ending, the very end that, you know, you're supposed to feel good about. But sum it up, I just have a hard time liking the main character by the end of the movie. I really do. So, here's the problem, though. And this is a little tease for later. I just gave it a positive review according to Rotten Tomatoes. So I would be part of that 97%.
Seemed like, not to be a point share, seemed like a mostly positive review.
It is, but that's the point I'm making. But when you look at it on Rotten Tomatoes, I would not say it's fair to give it a 97%.
Well, that's the thing, is it's 97% of critics said it was a good movie, or a, you know, they recommended it, basically.
Right, so hold on to that thought.
Okay.
And we will get there after Trailer Takedown.
Tease. It's a tease!
Trailer Takedown.
Now, before we do our first trailer, I just want to fucking say one thing about trailers on the internet. And I don't know if you guys have started to notice this.
Yes, I have. God damn it.
They do a 15-second mini trailer before the trailer on YouTube videos.
Yeah, what is going on? It's a trailer for a trailer.
I hate it. Can we please end that studio?
No. What, no, will you let me explain what it is? I actually know what it is.
Go ahead. I hate it, though. You're not going to convince me. I hate it.
YouTube advertising has a thing called in-stream advertising. It's where you only get... I mean, if you watch... Basically, you have to watch 5 seconds of an ad, and then you can skip. So, basically, these companies who are advertising these videos are making 5-second versions... That you're like, yeah, I really want to watch this, so you don't hit the skip button. So you can get, and even if you do skip it, you still get 5 seconds of the trailer, so they accomplish their goal no matter what. So
all you've done is transfer my, all you've done is transfer my hate from these mini trailers to YouTube. That's all you've done.
Just letting you know that
makes perfect sense for a skip screen. Like, but yes. On the actual trailer, when I have to sit through, when I already have to sit through an ad in order to watch the trailer, which is perverse, by the way, that pisses me off. I don't want to see a little mini trailer before the trailer. It gives this impression that, like, I'm watching a trailer for the trailer, and then I just start, I start fuming.
It's just, on YouTube, you only want to have one sort of, like, main version of your video that gets all the views, because that's a net positive for you as a channel provider. So you don't want to have, you know, your advertised version and your not advertised version. Like, that's just
everything you are saying, Daniel, makes sense based upon the platform, which means I'm just going to blame the platform.
There you go. Blame God. I mean, Google.
First trailer.
Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, is a reboot. I have to admit, I did think that when I saw the name of the trailer for the first time. But no, it's a reboot of Jumanji, where it's now an old school video game. And these four students play the game and select their avatars, and then they end up as avatars in the game. And that's basically the entire trailer. So I want to give my impressions of this trailer. So I have two things to say about it. The first is, you know, I'm a sucker for The Rock. Like, I even enjoyed that movie with The Rock and Kevin Hart. I watched it on a plane. I was like, oh, this is amusing. Like, so I'm going to watch this movie because I thought it looked funny. It reminded me sort of a little bit of Tropic Thunder. It was like, it started as like a horror movie setup where it's like, here are the four disparate kids and they're going to be forced together into a situation because of detention. And then it became like Tropic Thunder when they got sucked into the game. So it was interesting to me just as a comedic standpoint. But this trailer is an example of how Batman versus Superman has ruined the name Martha for me. So the principal is going around and saying all of their names. And then, you know, he says each of the characters. And then he says the redhead's name. He goes, Martha. And my first thought is, why did you say that name? This is how bad it is for me.
I could be
at the altar. The officiant could say, do you take Martha to be your lawfully wedded wife? And the first thing I would say back is, why did you say that name?
I think if marrying a woman named Martha, she would approve of that, actually.
I know.
Yes. I was tired of the premise of this film by the time I reached the middle of its title. Jumanji, welcome to the... And I'm out. I don't fucking care anymore. Like, it was so fucked out by the time I reached the third word. That's how fucked out this premise is. Also, I am morally offended by the fact that they changed it from a board game to a video game. We are leaving our children a world where they do not play board games, and that is a shitty world that I don't want to live in. So.
Tackle.
Tackle on moral grounds.
Tackle.
I'm a superposition of Justin and Daniel here. When I found out it was called Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, first I was pissed that it was a reboot. Second, I was pissed that Welcome to the Jungle, because I just feel like every day I have to listen to that song in one context or another. And I remember liking it at one point, but now I hate the shit out of that song. But the preview really turned me. The preview itself really turned me around. It really won me over by the end. I thought Jack Black as the prissy girl in the body of Jack Black, I think, is a really funny idea because of the way, just the way he is able to talk in that. There's a part where he says something really like a prissy girl, but it still works for Jack Black, but you know it's her. It was really funny. But I have a question.
It's reminiscent of Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder.
Right. But I have a question, though. Is it... And actually, first, a different question. Could you do that anymore?
Oh, probably not, no.
Yeah, I don't think you could. You can't do blackface anymore. Not even when it's, like, self-aware of its, you know, racism. No. But here's another question. The white nerd guy becoming Dwayne Johnson, is that blackface?
Oh, that's interesting.
Dwayne Johnson's like an octoroon, though, right?
Yeah, also known as a Samoan.
Please
yes.
don't use that term.
Oh, he's not black.
We're in so much.
No,
trouble.
I mean he is
like
black.
1/8 black, and he's just like half Samoan.
I don't know fucking his lineage, man. I know he's considered black, and I know he's Samoan.
Octoroon means you're
no.
Eight
I'm saying
black,
he's
and
both.
I took this chance to use that word.
He's of Samoan.
You somehow made my comments not the worst fucking comments
no,
on this
it didn't
episode.
Even come close, Justin.
So here we go. Hold on,
of me that got sucked in by the black hole made by
Wait,
that joke.
Hold on, James may be vindicated here in a moment. Johnson's father, Rocky Johnson, is of black Nova Scotian origin, while his mother is of Samoan heritage.
How is James vindicated? I said he's considered Samoan and black.
Oh, well, I didn't hear you say black.
Neither of us heard you say the black part.
Okay, well, here's the point. He's a person of color, as they are, you know, fond of saying now.
Or whatever the fucking octoroon is.
A fully white boy who became the Rock. Is
an octoroon when an octopus fucks a baboon? Like,
that's the most racist thing that's been said.
The fuck is an octoroon?
Octoroon means you're 1/8 black. Look it up.
Is that like a macaroon that's made in October?
No,
like
it's
octoroon?
When a white person and a quadroon have a baby.
So white people are fucking quadriplegics? Like,
no, a
what?
Quadroon.
Okay.
The show is canceled, I'm pretty sure. We just canceled the show. Although I just did just Google, is octoroon racist? And I actually can't find a good answer.
I feel like Octoroon is still, an insult you say to Dr. Octopus to call him a buffoon.
Is it? Wow. No, but the question still stands. Is it blackface if the white kid is in the Dwayne Johnson body?
No, then it's called Dwayne Johnson having gay sex.
Oh,
wow.
Okay. Can we move on? I say we move on because we don't have much time left for this show.
No, I know. I understand that. That's why I've been trying to like make bad jokes so you guys shut up. Okay.
That's not really a good way to do that. Okay.
Just breathe.
Second trailer.
Breathe is Andrew Garfield getting polio. But I think that's mainly the plot of this movie. Does anyone have anything to add to the plot of this movie?
And then he invents a machine that allows him to, you know, be wheeled around while having polio.
Does it make me a horrible human being if I hard tackle this movie?
No, I'm going to do the same thing.
Not because anything against people with polio or quadriplegia. Is quadriplegia offensive now?
Probably.
Can people have octoplegia?
Octomom, maybe.
Okay, so, what was I saying? Oh, I just don't want to watch a movie about people who can't move their arms and legs.
You ableist.
Like, it's just not... I don't know. Maybe it would just make me overwhelmingly sad, and that's why I don't want to watch it. But I just can't handle it. So, tackle.
Okay, similarly to you, Daniel, do you guys know the Bill Burr joke where he says, like, how many of those black people are oppressed movies are we going to make? And it's, like, all the way down to swimming.
Yes.
How many of these movies are we going to make? Like, now we're down to polio. Is the next one the Black Plague? He got the Black Plague and then didn't throw all his guts up. Follow Tobey Maguire as someone who doesn't have a career after Spider-Man.
That's right.
Tackle.
Yeah, same thing as Daniel. Looks like a good movie, but it's just not my kind of movie. I remember I was interested in the Theory of Everything movie, not because I, you know, I'm interested in watching someone who's a quadriplegic, and not because I'm interested in even Stephen Hawking, but just because I thought, oh, hey, it's a movie about a physicist. Only this guy isn't a physicist. He's just a guy with quadriplegia, and it's great he got over it, or it's great that he has a chair now that can wheel him around. That's great. But I'll read about that in the news. I don't need to watch a movie about it.
Tackle. Third trailer.
A Bad Mom's Christmas is about Mila Kunis, Kristen Bell, and one other woman who's irrelevant, rebelling against Christmas by refusing to be a woman and sacrifice our Christmas. Because apparently, Christmas is made on the backs of women. That's what I took away from this trailer. So, there's no way I can like this trailer. There's no way. There's no way I can like this movie. There's no way I can hug this movie. But Mila Kunis and Kristen Bell in a movie together.
This just like, in, the working title for this film was Marxist Mommies.
If you had told me in college that there would be a string of movies with Mila Kunis and Kristen Bell in them, I would be...
You would still be beating off.
Yeah, I would still be beating off. But the only movie that they've been in together that's worthwhile is Forgetting Sarah Marshall. All the others have been this nonsense. Tackle.
Where do I start? I'll start here. Tackle.
James.
Mommies of the world, unite. You have nothing to lose but your husbands. You have everything to tackle.
And your children.
Oh, man. Justin, you picked them this week, that's for sure.
Final trailer.
Ingrid Goes West is about a woman who is obsessed with a celebrity on Instagram and then goes to LA and becomes her best friend.
Audrey Plaza looks so horrible in this movie that I wouldn't even be interested if it was called Ingrid Goes Down.
Good. It's a good one.
Thank you.
Aubrey Plaza looks bad in everything to me. I don't understand why people like her. It's like never mind. Now I don't need to talk shit about skinny women. All right. Anyway, this looks like a bad version of the Black Mirror episode with Bryce Dallas Howard. Like, if you want to see this whole story done well, just watch that episode. This whole anti-social media thing done. Because the major problem with this is it's just got a very naturalistic aesthetic.
The main problem is that I hate the main character, and I hate the side characters, and I hate the plot, and also the writing looks terrible, and also the directing is shit. That's the main problem.
I am particularly focused on the naturalistic aesthetic. Tackle.
What?
Tackle.
I don't even understand what happened in a lot of this trailer.
I didn't either. I thought... It opened up... You want to hear what I thought the plot was?
Yes.
And then you tell us what you think the plot was. I thought the plot was that Aubrey Plaza is a girl who sees people on social media, gets fed up with seeing how good everyone else's life is, and then insinuates herself into other people's life in order to ruin their lives.
That is literally what I thought the plot was of this movie until Justin explained it. That's how
everything
bad
you
this
said,
trailer is.
Everything you said is correct up until the point that she's intentionally ruined the lives. The conflict and drama in this movie is going to come in that she's so socially incompetent that she is unintentionally ruining her favorite celebrity's life. The plot you said is actually more compelling. I would watch the movie you just described, where it's an intentional sabotage.
Right.
But this specifically is obsessed with one celebrity and insinuates herself into her life because she wants to have that life.
Well, why did she mace a bride at the beginning?
I can't explain this crap. Like, what are you asking for?
What a horrible slate of films that you have chosen for this week. I would be more interested in watching Bangarang, the Hook prequel that was just funded on Kickstarter, than any of this crap. Tackle.
So, yeah, okay, James.
You need to just be official.
Yeah, tackle. It's just okay. Tackle, tackle, tackle.
Thank you.
Tackle.
Okay. Ingrid, also, what is she, German?
For a few minutes here, I want to talk to you guys about an article that appeared in Wired magazine. This article is called Rotten Tomatoes and the Unbearable Heaviness of Data. The interesting thing about this article is it talks about the effect of Rotten Tomatoes on the movie industry and how it's really affecting how people go to the movies. And it's affecting how movies are marketed. And there are questions about how movies will continue to be marketed going forward. So I want to ask you guys about the Rotten Tomato effect. So in here we have Matt Atchity talking about exactly what Daniel said earlier when we were talking about Baby Driver. The idea that it's not necessarily objective. It's just, are you giving a positive or negative review of a movie? So an example he uses is a 2.5 out of 5 could be positive at one point for one reviewer, and then negative at one point for a negative reviewer. I have a problem with this non-objectivity. Because to me, a 2.5 out of 5 should just not factor into the Rotten Tomatoes score. It should be if you get a positive review, which should be a 3 out of 5 and above, that's considered a positive review, a fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Otherwise, it's either not rotten or rotten. So if that's your dichotomy, rotten or fresh, it can follow three categories: neither rotten nor fresh, rotten or fresh. That's it. And then there are other interesting implications in this story, just about how people will be driven away by negative Rotten Tomatoes scores, but they won't necessarily be driven to the theater by positive Rotten Tomatoes scores, unlike me, who went to saw Baby Driver because of the hype it got and went to see Get Out because of the hype it got. People are more likely to take it in the negative way. And then likewise, they're saying that people are gaming the system of the audience score, where I guess they unlock the audience score the day the movie has been released, and then people just start to vote it up or down before they've even seen the movie. So the question is, culturally, is Rotten Tomatoes creating a problem for the way we consume films? And I want to be clear when we say this, because Matt Atchity goes on the Adam Carolla show, and I do think he's a good person. I do think he's well-meaning. But that doesn't mean he's not making a mistake. What do you guys say based upon reading this article?
I understand your point, and what I will concede most of all is that in the current culture, you know, talking earlier about identifying fake news and whatever, where people sort of turn off their brains and want to confirm their biases or have someone else tell them what is good, you know, Rotten Tomatoes is going to tend toward a negative for films, especially, you know, where so many film critics have an ideological slant. That's going to be where I think it hurts films the most. They're going to take down things that they think are conservative or even if they're not quote unquote conservative or libertarian, but they're just anti their values as filmmakers. They're going to say they're bad films, even though they may not be. So that's the negative part. On the other side, you know, sometimes it's interesting to see, you know, what the audiences are thinking about a movie. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little skeptical that it's totally filled with cynical people voting things up or down before they have seen it. So I guess I like 81% agree with you that it's probably a net negative, but I think there is some value in this sort of aggregating system, whether it be of critics or of audience or someone. I don't know. Maybe it would be a better system if we had a better culture. There you go.
I mean, maybe that is the answer. And something I want to point out about that is this sort of reinforces what you just said about people wanting to turn their brains off. This is a quote from the article. Somebody said this. I don't have the name of the person. I have his last name. I don't have his significance. So you can look in the article for it. We'll link to it on themidside.com. There are audience that would have given a movie a chance and maybe liked it or loved it that are now staying away. The same way that Rotten Tomatoes tends to be a pass-fail with not many movies in the middle, that may be the trend that we see from the box office. There's a kind of draining of the middle class because audiences aren't giving those movies a chance they would have. And this is what we see now, isn't it? Is that every movie is the greatest movie ever or the worst movie ever. For instance, Batman vs. Superman. Not Snyder's best work, but certainly not the aberration and awful piece of shit people make it out to be. Wouldn't it be better if we just said it was more of a B film? But instead we say, oh, it's a 27%, so it's awful. So isn't that the real problem, Daniel, that we already have these problems in our culture, and this is exacerbating it by giving people a vernacular to talk about things in a very dismissive, simplistic way?
Why, yes, Captain Leading Question. That is everything you just said. Yes, it's all of that, but it's one of these things where it's not the tool has any inherent badness to it. It's our use of the tool that is bad. And there have been some sites that popped up that have tried to counter this, right? Like Metacritic has tried to counter this, where films have a score out of 100, and you can be considered like a version of fresh if you're like 60 or above, but you literally see like, you know, where this falls on that scale. It's not just good or bad. There is a gradient to it. So, and IMDb has a rating system 1 through 10 on movies.
Yeah, but those are definitely gamed. People definitely game that. I think the interesting solution was what was said at the end, that studios could just wait for screenings and just say reviews come out after movies come out. Because I think this whole idea that critics review movies before they come out and tell everyone what to think about them before they come out. Like, I get the idea that you want somebody else to see it before you so you don't waste your fucking time. But again, that seems like the laziness to me. Like, just fucking decide when you watch a trailer if you want to see it or not. Like, why do you need fucking somebody else to tell you whether it's worth seeing or not?
I don't know if it's necessarily laziness. James, do you have any thoughts about this?
I think critics can definitely help, especially if we use the skill that, Justin, you were talking about earlier when you're reading news, which is, for example, we reviewed The Dark Tower a while ago, and I've been reading the book, actually, because that actually looked really cool to me. And I've really vacillated between... I've watched the preview several times since starting the book, and I keep vacillating between this looks stupid or this looks good, and it keeps vacillating between extremes for me. So once there are reviews of the movie, I'll be able to make a decision. And let's say the reviews are all negative, just for the sake of argument. But the reviews take the form of like, oh, like the character was too unrealistic. He was too heroic, and you know, no one can really be like that because morality is unattainable in this world. You know, if they say something like that, then I'm going to say, oh, great, this movie's probably going to be a 10 out of 10 for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's certainly part of it.
User of reviews. Even a bad review could be informative on whether or not you personally would like a given film.
Exactly.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I do that. I think James is right. That is 100% an application of what I said earlier during the fake news discussion.
Yeah.
But that is my argument against Rotten Tomatoes, that Rotten Tomatoes makes it easier not to do that because you just look at the scale, the score. Oh, well, I'll see Baby Driver because it's 97%. Or rather, as we saw, oh, I won't see Batman versus Superman because it's 27%.
Yeah. I don't know. Complicated. Good discussion.
Okay, you know what else will be a good discussion? Whatever comes out of this round of Walk or Joke.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time again to play everyone's favorite game, Woke or Joke, where I read headlines. Some of them are real, some of them are satire, and the staff here, Justin and James, have to pick which are woke and which are joke. So these are all headlines either from actual news sites or from well-known satire sites. I have grouped them into three rounds. Each round is a theme. And we are adding one new twist to the game moving forward, which is that before every round had a joke in it, but in this game, and all games moving forward, each round may or may not have a joke headline in it. So you can answer that one of them is a joke, or you can answer none of them are jokes.
I like that twist. And can I also add a twist here? Executive decision?
Mm-hmm.
So, Daniel, you said the joke headlines come from satire sources.
Yes.
Midsiders, I have a challenge for you. Write your own joke headlines, submit them to Daniel, and if one of us guesses that your joke headline is woke, we think it's real, you will win a prize. Prize not yet determined and may not have a large monetary value. So you will win a prize if you can fool us with your headline that you said to sent to Daniel.
I like it. I like it getting involved here. All right. Gentlemen, are you ready for the first round of Woke or Joke? I need a verbal yes by law.
I need affirmative consent.
Yeah, stop my nodding your head up and down. That's very bad, Bob. Okay.
I'm drunk, so I can't give consent.
Round one, God stuff. Headline.
Butt stuff?
Nope. God stuff. God does not approve of the butt stuff, just so you know. Okay.
I'm an ass man, so to me, butt stuff is God stuff. Anyway.
Okay. Headline number one. Report. Majority of Christians far more concerned about which bathrooms trans people use than whether or not they will go to heaven. One more time. Report. Majority of Christians far more concerned about which bathrooms trans people use than whether or not they will go to heaven. Headline number two. A new Bible changes brothers to brothers and sisters, and that's a step in the right direction. One more time. A new Bible changes brothers to brothers and sisters, and that's a step in the right direction. And headline number three. The only way humankind stops the machines from taking over is by getting religion.
Oh no.
One more time. The only way humankind stops the machines from taking over is by getting religion. Gentlemen, woke or joke? Justin?
I missed that part in The Matrix for story number three. Did I miss that entire storyline?
Where Neo becomes a Catholic?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I guess it sort of makes sense with the Matrix because, like, he became the Jesus figure at the end, right?
So, see?
Yeah, so it was in there. I am actually going to use your new rules, and I think all of these are real. I don't think any of these are a joke.
All right.
Woke.
James?
They're all woke.
Well, I know it's out of character for me to agree with Justin, but I also guess that all of these are woke, especially the first two. The third one, I don't know. The third one might be a joke. If it's a joke, the third one's not a very funny one, so I'm still going to go with all woke. Because more trans people concerned with, or more trans people, more Christians concerned with trans people than going to heaven, that is exactly something that they would come up with. Brothers and sisters, yeah, duh, that's woke. Yeah, they're all woke.
I love it, gentlemen. This is why I play the game, because you both lost. That's why
Is it the
Daniel
third one?
Daniel gets the point this round.
That's
Daniel
right, I forgot, I can win. That's yeah. right. I'm typing
Daniel
my name.
Gets the
One
point.
For Daniel. The first story is actually a satire story from the Babylon.
Wow.
But see, right. I was playing off of the idea that people are very concrete-bound, immediate thinkers. So I was like, yeah, you know, they'll figure it out later. Or also they're conceited and assume, oh, if I believe in God, I will automatically get into heaven.
This is why it's good satire. I think the Babylon Bee, while a completely Christian site, is actually doing really good satire work. They're picking up a little bit where the Onion is starting to leave off, because they're actually doing genuine critiques of the interest group that they propose to be in favor of, which I think is really good satire. So, the second headline was from Slate.com, and the third headline was from The Federalist, actually, which is a site that has nothing to do with any other thing with federal in the name. Okay. Round two. Lady stuff. All right. Headline number one. Meet the official fake nipples of the resistance. One more time. Meet the official fake nipples of the resistance. Headline number two. As a woman, watching Wonder Woman served as a reminder that I could probably kill someone with a sword. One more time. As a woman, watching Wonder Woman served as a reminder that I could probably kill someone with a sword. And headline number three. Wait, are feminists supposed to drool over women's butts or nah? One more time. Wait, are feminists supposed to drool over women's butts or nah? Gentlemen, woke or joke? James?
Oh, man. Daniel, you're going to win this round. I shouldn't have come up with that rule where you had a chance of winning, because you've gotten so good at this that you're just going to keep winning. Oh, my dog. My fake nipples are definitely woke. Wonder Woman sword. I can kill people with a Wonder Woman sword. Oh my god. I put that as a joke first, but I don't know what to think, because the Babylon Bee is just, it's like able to, with these headlines, it's able to like understand what I'm expecting and then even subvert that. So, oh my god, this is so hard between 2 and 3. Oh my god.
Clock's ticking, James, and silence makes for bad pot.
They're all woke. They're all woke. That's my guess.
All right. Justin, woke or joke?
Wait, I'm confused by his answer now. I'm supposed to pick that one of these is hypothetically a joke, or one of them is hypothetically woke?
Only one per round could be a joke, but none of them could be a joke.
Okay, well, based upon that, then, the one I am picking as a joke is number two. Now, what's number three?
Number three is, wait, are feminists supposed to drool over women's butts or nah?
Okay. I really think that one might be a joke because of the use of nah. Before that, I didn't think it was a joke. But now I'm not sure. But because I'm on the fence about that one, that leads me to number two being the joke. And likewise, number one is probably real. The reason I think number two is a joke is it is perfect satire of the thing I hate about Wonder Woman, where people are tweeting like, oh, wow, now I know why straight white men feel so powerful all the time, because they get to see their heroes all the time. Oh, now I feel powerful because I've seen a woman hero. Now I'm really jazzed up. Like, that's the perfect way of making fun of it, because you're using the concrete to make fun of what people are saying abstractly. The idea that, oh, man, now that Wonder Woman's there, I can kill people with a sword. That's just too perfect of a joke. So that has to be a joke. It's just a brilliant joke.
Congratulations, Justin. You picked out the joke. It's the Wonder Woman story.
Oh, what?
Comes from clickhole.com. The first story is a Heat Street story about the fake nipples of the Resistance. And then the final story is a Slate.com story. And actually, the word nah is not only in the headline, but also in the URL. So you know that I'm not making it up. That's right. So after two rounds, Justin has 1 point, Daniel has 1 point, and James has none of the points. All right, round three, final round, unless there is a need for a tiebreaker. Round three is diversity stuff. Headline number one. Transgender nesting dolls for kids gets funding from Canadian government. One more time. Transgender nesting dolls for kids gets funding from Canadian government. Headline number two. Why virtual reality may be our best weapon against racial bias. One more time. Why virtual reality may be our best weapon against racial bias. And headline number three. I made a film about diversity because nobody else would. Number three again. I made a film about diversity because nobody else would. Gentlemen, woke or joke? Justin?
Before I answer this, because this one's really easy, I would like to point out that we did have butt stuff in round two. Story three was butt stuff. I'd just like to point that out.
Thank you.
Here's the thing. One and two are obviously not jokes. So number two is like, they're just like, hey, the thing that takes us away from actual reality will make us get us the thing we want by not having actual reality. And I don't think any satire site is that sophisticated to be able to make that link to the virtual reality story. Number one is, can you remind me of what number one is?
Transgender nesting dolls for kids get funding from Canadian government.
Oh, right. Okay. So first of all, that's the perfectly Canadian story. Like, that's like the most polite thing they can do is like teach kids about transgenders at a young age. And the perfect way to do that is nesting dolls, because you just fucking, you take the tops off and you take the bottoms off. I mean, it's like fucking visually perfect for it. You're taking the tops and then you're rearranging them to be any combination you want them to be. So the nesting dolls are actually the perfect way to brainwash kids about transgender. So those two have to be true. So it almost doesn't even matter what the third one is. So I honestly, I can't remember what the third one is, but it's a joke.
Okay. I made a film about diversity, and oh, yeah, no that's one why, else would.
Right, that's why that's obviously a joke. Because nobody, like, you gotta be fucking retarded. Like, you have to be so disconnected from reality to say that. Like, you gotta be so fucking retarded to say that. And that's why it's a perfect satire headline.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I don't know. I just don't think that Daniel would choose something that obviously a joke. So,
well, I'm gonna say this. If the transgender one is a joke, we need to patent transgender nesting dolls right now, because that will make us a shitload of money.
I hate to make three mistakes in a row here. The first two are clearly true. The third one, I want to say it's a joke, but it's just too obvious a joke. So I'm going to guess a third time that they're all woke.
All right, gentlemen, moment of truth. They are all woke.
Yes.
Yes, the last article is a real article by a filmmaker and on the Huffington Post website.
Oh, my dog.
It is hilarious. You go read it. The second article is also from the Huffington Post.
Yes. I don't advocate killing people very often, but can we just, like, take that guy out back and shoot him? Like, really? Really?
So, and then the transgender nesting dolls are a real thing. And they got, they not only got funding from the Canadian government, but they also did a Kickstarter campaign in case anyone is interested. So, after three rounds, we are all tied at one.
Also, if you want to throw away money to transgender nesting dolls, patreon.com/themidside.
That's right. So the good news for you two is that I cannot win this game because I do not participate in the tiebreaker. So congratulations to one of you. But the tiebreaker is one headline, and I'm just going to pick one of you to say whether or not it is a whether it is woke or a joke.
Rule change.
Yes?
Because this is the mid-side, and I created this, I can pick woke or joke, or I can defer to James.
Oh.
We'll call this the Belichick rule.
I like it. That's right. You can defer. The power of defer. Okay. Are you ready, gentlemen, for the tiebreaker? Here it is. This was sent in by a midsider, by the way. I believe midsider Ronnie. I hope I got that right. Sent this in. So here we go. To ensure every child wins, Athletic Association removes balls from soccer.
I am not deferring because I know...
To ensure every child wins, Athletic Association removes balls from soccer.
Fuck, I'm confused now. Fuck.
This is a Fassini decision.
No, because I saw this story. But I can't remember if it was a joke or not. I think I remember... Here's the thing. The reason I can't remember if it's a joke or not, because I remember people getting really angry about this when they saw it. Like, the comments were like, people were really fucking angry. But I think it was a joke. I'm pretty sure it was a joke, and people were laughing at them for taking it seriously. So I'm going to say that I'm not going to defer. Sorry, Belichick. This is a joke.
It's a joke. I think it's a joke, too. But then Daniel hesitated.
No, it is a joke. Congratulations, okay. Justin. That it is in fact a joke. It's just a phenomenally well written joke headline. That's why I can't.
Well, and there
stop
are pictures
laughing.
Too. If you've seen it, there are pictures of the kids playing without balls.
Yes, there's a video that accompanies this. It's fucking
right.
Awesome.
Right.
Yes, and they call it ballless soccer, which I love.
That's so rhetorically amazing, too.
Yeah, because when I saw it the first time, I was like, wait, this actually, did they do this? Like, I can see them doing this.
This is an awesome article to end with for a tiebreaker is that it comes from the CBC.ca, which is a Canadian news website. And so it's in its entirety, it looks exactly like any other news article. And in fact, it even says by CBC Radio as the author. So it's great, but there's like this tiny little disclaimer line that tells you that it's satire. So, just fucking awesome. So congratulations, Justin. You have won Woke or Joke. And why don't you at home, if you played along, tweet us your score. Let us know how you did. And of course, Justin said, yeah, submit your satirical headlines. Or if you want to submit actual stories to me, whether they be from The Onion or the Babylon Bee or actual news, happy to use them here. And Woke or
Joke. Just to be clear, you can only win a prize for writing your own headlines. You don't win a prize for submitting somebody else's hard work, you fucking moocher. Write your own headline.
That's right, and until next time, stay woke. Or not.
All right, gentlemen, what did we learn this week? Daniel?
I learned that I need to keep up on my Bernie Sanders news alerts, because I am woefully behind on my... Feel the burn news. So I need that.
James?
I learned how impossible Woker Joke is as a game, and what a and just continue to be blown away by what Daniel has created.
Yeah, I mean, the new rule makes it even harder.
Yes.
Yeah.
We could have Don back on to see how he deals with that new rule.
Didn't yes. Don get like 3 for 3? He just nailed all of them.
Yeah, he got lucky.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think there's any luck involved in this game. Like, it's just
this you is just purely gotta, a game of skill. Just to be very clear,
it is purely a game of skill.
Absolutely. It's you know, NFL football and then this above it. So, Justin, what did you learn this week?
I learned what the purpose of the mini trailers before trailers are, and I fucking hate YouTube even more now because of it.
That's right. Well, if you learned something this week, we want to know about it. You can tweet us at TheMidSide or go to Facebook.com/TheMidSide and leave a comment on an article. Tell us how you did on Woke or Joke. Or tell us we're fucking idiots. Tell us we're racists. Whatever you want to say. There's a lot to be said about this episode. So we want to know about it. We're also on the Instagrams and Snapface and other places.
Instabook.
That's right. You can subscribe to the podcast on Google Play or iTunes. Or in fact, if you're already subscribed to the Liberty.me feed, we're syndicated there. So if you want to get lots of cool libertarian podcasts, even though we're not libertarians in particular, you can subscribe at Liberty.me and you'll get us mixed in, and you can yell along with us or not. Or you can yell at us, in fact. But thanks to Liberty.me
that's
for
right.
that.
And follow Justin on Wiggler.
That's right. On yes. On White Hat. Yes.
What? What are these things?
I don't know.
Wiggler?
I'm making things up.
It's just a social media where you can send black and white pictures with text on them, and that's it.
Really?
No.
No, I made that up, dude.
Oh. It sounds real enough that it could be just like, I love when Silicon Valley does the fake app stuff, because they do apps that are just like, just fake enough that they're funny, but real enough they could be a thing, like, is this a hot dog app?
Seafood?
Yes.
Seafood was pretty brilliant.
Pretty fucking
but no,
funny.
Follow me and on Snapchat and you app. Can see where I am at all times on the new Snapchat map.
Oh God. God help us all. Strip club, strip club, strip club, porn shop, strip club, porn shop home. That's right. And
so
that's
what we call Disneyland now?
Yes. For you? Yes. Spent a little too much time in that Aladdin section of the that's all I'm saying.
Wish I had Aladdin.
What is that? You've completely thrown me off my game. Oh, go to themidside.com/podcast. You can listen to previous episodes. And in fact, one new thing we're doing now is Justin is putting out previews of the shows on themidside.com, which is cool. I like that.
Oh, this week I forgot to mention that at the front of Trailer Takedown. Damn it.
Yeah, it's Bernie Sanders.
You can see the trailers on Thursday and Friday. You can preview the trailers over the weekend so you can have an idea what we're talking about.
So you can know if we're batshit crazy.
Right.
And then, of course, there's Patreon, patreon.com/themidside. Patreon is a platform for creators like us, content creators. And basically what it is we publish our stuff through Patreon. And then you, the subscribers to Patreon, choose to help us out monetarily. Give us some money for doing the show, whether it's $1, 50 cents, $5, $300, whatever you want per show. And then that helps us keep a light's on. I have a light on right now. It's being kept on by you, the Patreon subscribers. So we love that. But above all else, what we love, not just that you listen, but that you tell people about the show. Telling people is the number one way that those people that you tell find out about the show. Number one, proven. It's science. Look it up. So we really need your help with this because we're growing the show. It's growing nicely, but we'd like it to grow rapidly such that we can all quit our day jobs and rake in lots of money from advertisers, because that's really what I want on this show is 15 to 20 minutes of advertising per episode. So the only way we can accomplish that is if you tell people about the show. Friends, enemies, moderately intelligent parrots. Fine with all these people listening, as long as they're listening now.
Moderately intelligent parrots almost sounded like moderately intelligent parents, but the parents would actually listen to the show more than my parents. So
that's true. I'm your parents go, you host a what? What is this on the radio? Who are you?
Are you Rush Limbaugh? Why are you trying to do the radio? Knock it off.
That's right. Stop trying to be things to people. So anyway, thanks again. Tell people, Patreon, got it all. And thanks for listening. We love you. See you next time.
This concludes your journey into the midside. I'm Justin M. Lesneski reminding you that if things get tough, take a step back and witness the farce.
Good day.